You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Towards the end of that guidance that Paul was giving to the church at Corinth, he says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Just bow in prayer. Draw close to us, Father. From the written word and through this sacrament of bread and wine, may we meet with the risen living Lord and go from this place knowing his presence with us. Amen. Many years ago, when my children were preschool age, and they're now in their 40s, just to give you some time span, we went on holiday down to Swanage, and we stayed in a small hotel stroke guest house, and we gelled with three other families, as you do on these occasions. And I avoided asking any of the others what they did for a living, because I knew that meant I would have to declare what I did. And that can be a conversation stopper. So I kept stum until Wednesday. And on Wednesday, we were down on the beach, and two other families joined us. And this says something of the era. We three men went up to the beach cafe to get a tray with cups and saucers and a pot of tea on. They trusted us with the cups and saucers in those days. And we're up there in the queue waiting, the three of us, and the conversation's going on. And by this time, we'd learned that one of the other guys came from Bourne End. And the other fella said to him, you work for, and I can't remember which company it was now, in Bourne End. So he said, no. He said, I thought anybody who lived in Bourne End worked for them or in the city. So you must work in the city. So this guy said, no, I don't work in the city. So he said, well, what do you do? And this fellow replied, I'm the vicar of Bourne End. I saw this guy's jaw drop. And I could see his mind flicking round as to what he might have said up till that point. And equally, at the same time, he's going to ask me, and the poor guy's really for it then. So he asked me, and there's almost a double take. And when we got back to the hotel that evening and we were down in the lounge waiting for the dinner gong to go, he said to the family that had not been with us on the beach, you'll never guess what these two do for a living. And he told him, and this other fellow said, I ought to confess, he said, I'm a Methodist minister. The three of us have been playing the same game. We wanted to be off duty. And this guy, this fella, in a sense, felt we'd deceived him. And I understand where he's coming from. And in a sense, he's right. Because we should never be off duty. We should always be on duty. There is no place for a minister or a Christian never to be living the Christian life. So I see where he was coming from. But the interesting thing was that at the end of the week, he said to the three of us, when I go back on the factory floor on Monday, they will never believe me when I tell them I've had the best fun holiday I've ever had with three vicars. And you can imagine the conversation on Monday morning, can't you, on the factory floor. And that's a perfectly true story. You see, a Christian is not a person who goes to church on Sunday and for the rest of the time does what he likes. You know, there's that definition of a clergyman, isn't there, of a minister, that he's you cannot understand him on a Sunday, and the rest of the week is invisible. He's not there. And somehow people have grasped that understanding, that there is a separation between the secular and the sacred. That there are things that we do in one pocket, but that we don't do in the other. We divide our lives. The sacred concerns God. The secular is us, and ne'er the twain shall meet. No one would question a minister's right on a Sunday in a pulpit or in an act of worship to declare God and what he is and what we are supposed to do. Nobody would deny him the right to pray and to preach on a Sunday. But I wonder what the reaction would be if a Christian minister in a city put up and won a place on the local council, and what the reaction would be if his voice was heard there. They're comfortable whilst it's in church, not so comfortable when that voice is being declared in the ordinary and the everyday concerns of the world. And yet, the Christian influence should be felt in the whole of our life. The Christian faith is there to transform our lives, not just to transform part of our lives, but to transform the whole of our lives. So that what we do on a Sunday as we gather here is reflected in all that we do on a Monday to Friday to Saturday. There was a radio program entitled Where is God on Monday? And it told the story of a German priest, an American priest who had gone to Germany to look at industrial relations and to look at the church's role within industry. And towards the end of his stay there, he was talking to a German priest. And he said to this German priest, he said, I would like to take God into the industry of America. And the German priest said to him, and how do you think God would like it? We smile. We feel superior to such an idea, as though God was not there already. But how convinced are we that God will be with us tomorrow, wherever we are? We come here with a certain expectancy. Do we go into the shop, into the office, into the place of work, into wherever we are, expecting that God will be there? Or somehow, have we left him tucked up in these comfortable walls? Where is God on Monday? Well, let's put it another way. Throughout this coming week, will we always be doing God's work? Or are there areas of our lives that we would sooner God didn't see or God didn't know about? And we assume that he doesn't, because he's not there. The story is told about a family who were moving house and came the last night in the house, and the little girl knelt down to say her prayers. And she finished her prayers by saying, well, God, it really is goodbye. We're moving to Coventry tomorrow. We laugh. But I wonder just how true is that for some of our thinking, that we try to deny God's presence in certain parts of our lives. No minister would ever try to tell an architect or an engineer or a builder how to do his job, but he has the right to talk about the motivation for that job. He has the right to talk about what it is that drives a person on Monday morning, what the energy is, what he is there for. You see, because identical work can be done by three different people from three different motives. Take a bricklayer. Three bricklayers building a building. And I go to the first and I say, what are you doing? I'm laying bricks. Perfectly true. I go to the second guy and I say, and what are you doing? He says, I'm earning a living. Perfectly true. Go to the third guy and I say to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm building a house to God's glory. Now, whether that house be a house that someone's going to live in, whether it be a church, whatever it be, that person is doing it to God's glory. He has seen the real motivation for the whole of his life. For you see, we own nothing. Everything is on trust to us. And we have a responsibility to God as to how we use that trust. I clean my car. I don't like cleaning my car particularly this time of the year. But I remind myself that God has trusted that to me. And I have a responsibility to him to look after it. Not to keep it clean for my neighbour to look at and say how good it is, although that does me good. But my motivation is that God has entrusted this to me. And I have a responsibility to him as to how I use that vehicle and how well I keep it. You see, motivation is so important in our lives. We need to be driven by God's Holy Spirit. What right have we to do anything that is not to the glory of God? Among the many letters lost to this world is that letter to the that was written to Paul from the church in Corinth. I find it very interesting, you know, that we know most about the early church by its mistakes. We have the letters with the answers. We don't have the letters with the questions. But here we have Paul trying to help the Christian community get to grips with motivation, to get to grips with what it is that God requires of them, not just on a Sunday around the Lord's table, but out in the ordinary world. And the issue he deals with is one that doesn't affect us today. It's about meat offered to idols. But that was a particular problem they faced in their day. And Paul says, whatever you do, do it to God's glory. Ask yourself the question, can I do this to the glory of God? No place, no activity, nothing is outside of this commandment from Paul. You see, so often the church is seen in a negative way as a list of don'ts. But really, the church is about doing and doing the right thing and enjoying life to its fullness. Each of us is constantly having to make decisions in a world that gets more and more complex and complicated. It's not always easy to see where God wants us to act in a particular situation because the world has become so complex, so many demands upon us. But the temptation often is to put ourselves first. We want to win one over our opponent. We want to advance our own good, maybe at the expense of someone else. We want to please the boss. We want to please ourselves. How often do we ask about pleasing God? Dr. Bailey, in his autobiography, tells the story of what used to motivate and govern his actions throughout the day. When he was a young man living in London, he was still single, living with his mum. And every morning, before he went into the study, he would share with his mother what had happened the day before. He would bring her up to date with what had happened. And so throughout the day, the question always in his mind was, can I share this with mum tomorrow? Can I share this with mum tomorrow? He knew how much mum loved him. He knew how much he loved mum. And the last thing he wanted to do was upset or offend her. And so all his actions were, what can I share this with her tomorrow? We have experienced the love of God. We will celebrate around this table in a few moments' time, the depth of that love, the distance that love was prepared to go for us. We know how much God loves us. We know how much we love him. Perhaps it might be an idea that we keep that in our minds during every day. Can I share this with God? Will this action please him? Will this action be in line with what I know and understand of God? And if we've read our scriptures, if we have learned together over the years, deep down inside, we know what pleases God. We know what pleases ourselves. And we know where the two meet. We glorify God by doing what is right. And it's not always easy, particularly out there in the world in which we live. A world which has got a spirituality, but somehow has lost the Christian tag to it. I do believe the world out there is searching for truth, but it's lost its direction. And it's difficult then to know when to speak and when to be silent. When our actions speak louder than our words. And some of the issues that we have to face today haven't got easy answers. It's not as black and white as it was for the generation before us. We have got to learn to think afresh about what God would have us do. This being on duty at all times doesn't mean that we have to be dour. Doesn't mean that we don't have any pleasure. I think one of the misconceptions of the Christian faith is that you can't have fun and laughter in doing God's work. I was privileged in my last church in Birmingham that in 4 years they raised £800,000 to build a new hospitality suite. We built a coffee lounge and a restaurant. We employed a cook and an assistant cook, but we wanted 40 more volunteers to be able to run this successfully throughout the week. And I remember at the church meeting talking about this, and there was a silence when I said the numbers. Remember, this is a membership of 90, this church, and I want 40, and I want 5 leaders, and I want a... Oh, don't let's go into the list. They were just stunned. And at the end of it, I said, if you don't want fun, don't come and volunteer. We are going to have fun in this ministry. God has called us to a new style of ministry. We called it hospitality ministry. It was a new style of ministry. And that strap line remained. And I used to go downstairs. And if I went and behind the coffee bar, there was not a smile. And I would say to them, if you don't want fun, they say, don't come. But as it did that, it brought that smile back into their faces. This was a place to enjoy ourselves. This was a place to have fun, because I do believe that the way we attract other people to come to know Christ is when we are attractive people ourselves. When we are living the real Christian life. And that's not a Christian life of negatives and don't do's. It's not a Christian life of making sure that we keep the Ten Commandments. It's a life of walking with Christ, of living the Christ-like way, of sharing ourselves and our own understanding of the Christian faith with others. You know, so often I think we're afraid to share the joy and to share what Christianity is all about because we feel we don't know enough. Don't worry about what we don't know. Let's share what we do know, and let's share it in a joyful way. Let us rejoice at all that God has given to us. Because if the Christian life does not bring joy into other people's lives, what's attractive to them to begin with? We have to be attractive people. We have to be on duty all of the time. It's only when we try to separate off the secular and the spiritual that we hit problems. Our lives, whether we be a minister, a lay person, whoever we are, we as Christians are always on duty. But being on duty means that we are reflecting Christ out into the world in which we live. And as we go out there, what sort of Christ are we reflecting to our community? When someone looks at us, what sort of personality do they see? What do they see that motivates us to be different? Or do they just see us as part of the crowd, as no different from anybody else? Do they see there is that fire that lights up our lives, that brings joy into the world, that brings the love and the comfort and the hope of Christ to those who are struggling in a difficult and a trying world. Over the years in this place, people have witnessed to the love of God. Ours is the task in the future to continue that witness, always on duty, always joyful, always bringing the love of Christ into broken lives. On duty, Sunday to Sunday, no days off. I was once asked by someone what my working hours were, and my response was, I was shown where to clock in 1967. They haven't shown me where to clock out yet. For a Christian, when we commit ourselves to Christ, it is a lifetime's commitment. There is no end. We are on duty all of the time. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.